Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mage the Podcast. I'm Mark, your host for this episode, and today we're going to take a look at street-level games in Mage the Ascension. First, I'm going to talk about what street-level games are, examine a few elements that can make them a success, and then look at some resources that you can use to help bring these games to life. So, what is a street-level game? First things first. Street level does not mean that your characters are poor, although it has to be said this is the default assumption. In actuality, it's all about focus. A street level game is local. It's not regional. It's not global. If you're familiar with Unknown Armies or the Chronicles of Darkness, this is a game that you describe as being tier 1. Action in a street level game is confined to a single district, a block, or even just a street. The concerns of the story are immediate, the plots are personal, and the setting is something that the characters are part of, and can possibly influence. And it's setting that I want to get to first. Of all the things that make a street-level game what it is, setting is the most important one. So here's a few pieces of advice to really make the most of that. Firstly, choose a location that you can make come alive. There's a few ways to do this. Make it somewhere that you know. If it's a place that you have a personal experience of, or can describe, or can relate to, that'll help your players relate to it as well. Make it somewhere that one of your players knows, or a friend, someone you can call on for their expertise to get an understanding of the locality, of its feel, its nature, its characteristics, and make sure that your descriptions are on point. Failing that, make it somewhere that you've invented and can inhabit. This way you can pull a map up yourself, you can make the descriptions come alive yourself, you know the details because, well, you've made them up. Secondly, choose a location that is thematically appropriate to the kinds of stories you want to tell. If you're looking for a down-and-dirty, dumpster-diving set of tales, you'll want to set your game in an area that can support that kind of story. If you're looking for something that focuses on gang warfare or street-level action, similarly, pick a neighborhood or invent a location that's going to lend its strengths to that kind of story. If you're looking at something that's polished boardroom tables and high society, go uptown. This is really important because the very nature of the tale is going to be drawn out of the place that you set the stories in. And similarly, this location should also reflect your plots, reflect your characters. The one should be a mirror of the other. Now, this next thing might seem an obvious point, but it really bears emphasizing. Give the characters, and by extension the players, somewhere to care about. Give them a home, a base, home turf to defend, and return to in times of need. I can't stress this enough. This really is the most important part of a street-level game. Often in a game like Mage the Ascension, there is the tendency for the Chronicle to become a globe-trotting, nation-hopping affair. For a street-level game, you've got to resist that temptation. Focus, focus, focus. And the best way to do this is to focus your player's attention on a specific place. It can be a warehouse that they've converted into their chantry, a nightclub somebody owns, even a flop house where all the characters crash when a hard day's magicking is done. Give them somewhere to care about. And it goes without saying that you're going to want to give this location a bit of extra care and attention. Map it out. Try and get some decent art to display its exterior or interior. And that brings me to my final point, talking about setting, which is use all the modern technology that's available to you. Now, primarily, this is going to be Google Maps and Google Street View. Pick a location, and chances are you'll be able to zoom in right onto it on the internet, get down to the street level, and see what it looks like. And if you're using a location that you don't have any personal experience of, this is a great way to get an understanding of what it looks like. Beyond that, though, dive into what makes that neighborhood come alive. Find local news and stories, local testimonials from people who live there, and use these to infuse the setting with life. You want it to breathe. You want it to feel like it's somewhere that you can walk and experience and really be in when it comes to playing it at the table. Or on the screen, if that's how your games go. So to summarize those points, choose a location you can bring to life. Use a location that's thematically appropriate to your game. Give your players and characters something to care about. And harness the power of the internet. Okay, a setting is all well and good, but it's nothing without people. So let's talk about the inhabitants of your street level game. Once you have your setting established, these are the things that are going to make it really come alive. So the first thing to mention is don't make them all mages or night folk or supernaturals. There's only so many vampire covens, werewolf packs, mage cabals, changeling motleys or whatever that you can cram into a used bookstore above a 7-Eleven. So dial down on the supernatural population of your area. The thing that will really make it feel alive and feel realistic are real people. So make that your default. That said, make some of them mages. Drop a vampire in here. Maybe there's a glasswalker guru who lives down the alley. Maybe you've got some changelings crowding together in the basement. But use these things as a little bit of spice, a little bit of flavor, to remind the players that it is, after all, the world of darkness, and not simply the crime pages of the local newspaper that they're inhabiting. Another important point is make these inhabitants real people. By that I mean give them motivations, give them hopes, give them ideals, give them flaws. They can make mistakes. Everybody does. Give them things they aspire to, things they regret. Living, breathing individuals. You can draw on inspiration from people that you know, or news stories that you've read, or local character, but it goes without saying, be respectful. Don't use people just as fodder for sensation. Try and inject a little bit of believable life into your inhabitants. And, as with the location, the most important thing here is give the players something to care about, or someone to care about. Friends, family, rivals, allies, antagonists. The obvious benefits of friends and allies, of course, for a storyteller, is you can threaten them. But don't go overboard. If every person the characters meet ends up being in jeopardy, they're not going to want to form meaningful bonds with anyone. Similarly, antagonists shouldn't always get away. The characters should have victories. If they have a long-standing rival and they work real hard to take them down, give them that hard-earned-for win. It'll make them feel all the more valid and all the more like they can make an effect on the world around them. And that brings me to my next point, which is plots. Every story needs a plot, otherwise it's just a bunch of friends wandering around. So, here's a couple of points to help you bring some focus and bring some interest to the stories that you tell in your street-level game. One of the first and foremost is day-to-day survival is important. Getting by when you're living hand-to-mouth is a struggle, and if your game focuses on that level of action, take the time to find out from your characters where do they get their food from, where do they sleep, how do they have security, safety, shelter. You don't need to hammer this home every single session, but make it something that your players have to think about. Make it something they have to work to ensure. That'll make them appreciate it all the more. Have some stories that deal with threats to the neighborhood. Maybe there are problems with local crime, gangs, and interest from larger crime families. Maybe there's a surprising amount of redevelopment that threatens the very place that your characters live. It's going to be demolished, and how are they going to deal with this? Maybe there's a degree of gentrification going on, leading to the obliteration of local culture upon which your characters have come to rely. But don't make it all negative. Have some stories that deal with improvements to the neighborhood. Maybe the characters are able to help the disadvantaged who share the streets with them. Maybe they have supernatural problems that they need to deal with. There's a haunted building. There are wayward ley lines messing with the geomancy of the area. Some unpleasant things have been unearthed by construction work. And have stories where they can deal with the personal problems of the inhabitants. The sleepers, the mundane folk with whom they share the world. Issues in these people's lives that your characters, as mages, have an edge in sorting out. And of course, don't forget elements of deep weirdness. Portals that open in the neighborhood, leading to or from who knows where. Streets that fold in on one another. Pocket realities from the past, lost districts and little alleyways. Ghost buildings that only appear once every new moon. The most important thing with plots in a street-level game is that the characters need to have an impact on their environment. The world should not just roll by regardless, unless your theme dictates otherwise, but if that's the case, you can expect the characters to leave and go find somewhere where their actions do make a difference. This is their home, this is their neighborhood, and the things that they do have to change it for better or for worse. This can be consequences of mistakes they've made that they then have to put right, or it can be successes that they strive for and see realized. Make sure that they make a difference. And finally, make sure the plots are emergent, by which I mean the plots that happen in your street-level game should arise out of things the characters have done or failed to do. If they fail to stop a piece of urban redevelopment, their chantry can be demolished. Then they're homeless, and that's a new story, which they then have to address in order to find a place where they can be safe and secure. Maybe they don't deal with the ghost building, and its spiritual inhabitants are now spreading out, adding malaise to the lives of the inhabitants of the neighborhood. Maybe something that gets unearthed by construction work runs rampant, is too much for the characters to deal with, and now they have a real problem on their hands. But on the positive side, if they've helped the neighborhood, they're going to be seen as local heroes. This can be something as simple as they get a discount at the coffee shop. But maybe they have a choice of a better pad in which to crash. They have allies they can call upon. And when the chips are down, the local folk will have their backs. Okay, so we've looked in general terms at setting, at character, at plot. Key ingredients in any game, not just a street-level story. But let's get down to some real specifics, namely existing resources for Mage the Ascension that you can use right away now at your table. So, because it's Mage, I've picked 9 books to look at, each one with a little something to offer you for your street-level games. The first one is Hidden Lore. This is the companion book that came with the second edition Mage the Ascension Storyteller screen. It's a slim little volume, but it's got 2 things in it that are of immediate use to you. The first one is an alternate combat system. Now, I mention this because it'll help you focus the attention during your street-level game where it needs to be. The World of Darkness combat system, it isn't the most streamlined one on the market. It has its pros, it has its cons. However, there's a version of the combat system in Hidden Lore that strips combat down to a single role. Essentially, it breaks action into 2 possible forms. Stunts that you're going to try and pull off, or damage that you're going to try and deal. Now, a stunt can be something like kicking in a door, yanking a rug out from underneath someone's feet, grabbing someone or scaring the crap out of someone. Damage is obvious. Health levels. The system abstracts these down to a single attribute plus ability role with increasing difficulty depending on how tricky the stunt is or how much damage you want to deal to somebody. And it allows you to make combat fast and snappy. Instead of the game slowing down when the action should be at its paciest, this system allows you to keep the ball rolling when it needs to keep rolling. For any game, but street-level games in particular, this is key. So I'd strongly advise you take a look at Hidden Lore and the alternate combat system that starts on page 9 and is covered in like a page and a half. The other thing that Hidden Lore has that's going to be of real use to you is a sample setting, specifically Pike's Place Market in downtown Seattle. This is a ready-made street-level setting that you can plug into your game or draw inspiration from. There's a little map, a little overview of the setting and some of its key elements, and then a ready-made mage chantry, the Conjurer's Cubbyhole, complete with NPCs, motivations, and plot ideas that you can use. So you can either plug it in wholesale, or you can skim through it, steal ideas, discard what you don't like. But it's a great template for you to work from when designing your own setting. Next up is the big one, Destiny's Price. Yes, this is the real hardcore guide to street life in Mage the Ascension. It's the initial offering from Black Dog for Mage the Ascension, and for those of you who don't know, Black Dog was an imprint of White Wolf that dealt with mature themes, which means it's a bit rude, but it's a no-holds-barred look at street life. And to be honest, it's difficult to know exactly where to start with this book. Really, the whole thing is something you should dive into. Grab a copy if you can, or a PDF if you can't, and see what it has to offer. I'll give you a quick rundown of what's in the book. Chapter 1 gives you an overview of street life in the Mage universe. It tackles some of the themes I've already mentioned, but obviously it's got dozens of pages, so it's able to go into greater detail. Chapter 2 talks about street culture. And while elements of this are a little dated now in 2019, much of it is still really quite relevant, so you'll find plenty here to dive into. It also talks about organized crime. There's quite an interesting look at the different types of organized crime family, and these are an ever-present element in street-level games, so it's worth the price of admission for that alone. Chapter 3, Gutter Magic, talks about the life of a street mage. How to take the existing statistics of a mage and tweak them to reflect life on the street. How the technocracy, the traditions, the disparates all view street life. It's a really interesting look at the game from this angle and allows you to fully modify the mage experience to bring that level of realism and authenticity to your street games. Chapter 4 and 5 talk about a couple of issues that I've identified already, namely settings and characters. Chapter 4 gives you a handful of sample locations that you can plug right into the game, and Chapter 5 gives you sample characters, and they're all super keyed to street life. They really feel like they've scraped themselves up out of the gutter to present themselves for use in your game. This is my favorite part of this book, hands down, and I've used at least one of these in every chronicle that I've run, so you should absolutely check it out. There's also an appendix which deals with street gear, some stats for the sorts of things that you might and might not encounter in a street game, a really interesting look at street level weapons and combat maneuvers, just a few crunchy bits to add some flavor to your street level soup. Number 3 on the list is Initiates of the Art, the Apprentice's Handbook for Mage the Ascension. Now, this isn't necessarily keyed to street level games, but what it does address is the life of a starting mage. An apprentice, someone who's just awakened and is finding their feet in the larger world of darkness. Many street-level games will feature characters of this type, so it's an invaluable resource for catering to this sort of mage. Chapters 1 and 2, Awakening and Finding Your Feet, deal with the supernatural side of a mage's life. What awakening is like, that sudden bolt of illumination, finding a mentor, fitting into mage society. But Chapter 3 follows the day-to-day life of an initiate. Paying your bills, getting along with roommates, how to deal with friends and families and enemies, and as it says in the book, the everyday crap that comes down on the awakened. So this is immediately applicable to your street level game. Similarly, Chapter 4, Resolution, deals with moving on once you're awakened. How do you fit into the larger world? And there's plenty of strong advice here to help bring that side of things to life. Finally, the book has a nice little set of rotes and merits and flaws at the end that will fit any street-level game and be immediately applicable to any street-level mage. Next up is Tales of Magic, Dark Adventure. This is another second edition book, and on the surface of it, it's catering toward telling high-octane, high-action adventures in Mage the Ascension. Now, this may seem at odds with a street-level game, but as I mentioned earlier on, street-level does not necessarily mean down and dirty. Look at it this way. Die Hard is a street-level story. So there's plenty of good advice in here if you want your street-level games to cater more toward the hard action side of things, as opposed to the where's my next meal coming from side of things. It starts out with a really good look at adventure structure, how to take high action elements and incorporate them into a role-playing game story. So you can use these to help structure, to help define the outline, and help build the content of your adventures that you write for your street-level game. It details some stock characters, not with stats, just with concepts. So it talks about things like the not-so-innocent victim, the plucky mortal, the devoted sidekick, the lover, the inscrutable stranger. These are all strong tropes, strong recognizable archetypes that people will easily be able to relate to, and thereby relate more easily to the game that you're running. And like the first few books on this list, it rounds out with some hard, crunchy stats. Stock NPCs, this time statted out, some equipment, some rotes, combat maneuvers, and so on. And if you're not able to get hold of a copy of Destiny's Price, many of its mechanical elements are repeated here, the stats and the weapons and the like. So this is a good stand-in for that book, at least on the mechanical side, if you're not able to find Destiny's Price. The fifth book I want to look at is The Bitter Road, The Disciple's Survival Guide for Mage the Ascension. Now, in many ways, this is a sequel to Initiates of the Art. It deals with the next rung up the ladder, so to speak. Once a mage has established themselves, has a bit of power under their belt, and is able to properly find their place in magical society. On the surface of it, it's a little bit above the usual power level for a street-level game, but there's still plenty here that's worth recommending. Chapter 2 in particular, Everyday Life, examines how mages get by in a world full of sleepers who'd fear or hate them if the sleepers only knew the truth. or so the book says. And it's true. It gives a good look at mages living normal lives, trying to hide or conceal or simply cope with the fact that they are mages. And all of this is immediately applicable to your street-level game. So grab a copy of Bitter Road, check out Chapter 2, and you'll find it full of advice and inspiration and ideas and concepts that you can use. The other chapters, however, are no less useful, particularly if you have a certain degree of supernatural activity in your game. If the traditions or the technocracy are factions to be reckoned with, you'll find stuff here that allows you to help the mage fit into those and deal with those aspects of their life. It also looks at the larger world of darkness, vampires, werewolves, wraiths, changelings, and other less easily defined things that go bump in the night. And as usual, rounds it off with a selection of mechanics, some merits and flaws, and an interesting look at backgrounds, a new way to deal with these that you'll find useful in any game. Okay, we've looked at books from 1st edition, 2nd edition, and revised. Let's not forget the newest kid on the block, Mage 20th Anniversary Edition, and specifically Gods and Monsters, which just came out. That's the 6th book on my list. Really, the entire thing is crammed full of ideas to use, primarily because it's a massive compilation of NPC stats, ranging from little kids you might meet on the street, to cops, to assassins, to spirits, unbrood, nightfolk. There's really nothing in this book that is going to be useless to you. As a huge compendium of, as it says, gods and monsters, this is absolutely one that you want to check out. The writing is snappy, it's up to date, it is, as of this recording, the most recently released book for Mage the Ascension, so it is super, super, super up to date, and I cannot recommend it highly enough. Check this one out. You'll find plenty of stuff in here that you can use, plenty of hooks and plenty of ideas. The focus is very tight, so this is absolutely one for your library. Okay, lucky number 7 on the list is The Orphan's Survival Guide. Man, do I love this book. So, Destiny's Price is the one that most people talk about when they think of street-level games. No. Orphan's Survival Guide, this is where it's at. If there's one book that you should read for running a game set around the streets, this is it. A handbook for rebel magi in Mage the Ascension. This book has it all. I did consider just making this podcast me saying, go and read The Orphan's Survival Guide over and over for about half an hour, and it would have been just as effective. Really, there's nothing in here that you will regret looking at. It opens up with an uncompromising look at life as a mage on the streets, starting with the basics of where to find food, where to find allies, where to find shelter, how not to get killed, and then develops that, how you grow in power and how you cope with the world around you, and some important lessons about being a mage. Magic does not render you invincible. Choose your teachers wisely. Be aware of the sleepers, and so on. It follows this up with a really interesting look at the Hollow Ones tradition, actually better than the Hollow Ones tradition book, if you ask me, a really tight, focused examination of the quote-unquote goth mages, and these will probably be a facet of your street game to one degree or another. Like Destiny's Price, it also gives us some locations that you can plug into your game, in varying degrees of detail, some fleshed out quite thoroughly, others a handful of paragraphs, all dripping with inspiration and adventure hooks. Grab them, plug them in, roll with them. They're great. There's a handful of NPCs as well, some that would really suit a street-level game, some not so much, and then a chapter on storytelling. Distilled advice on how to make the most out of a street-level game. Really tightly focused material. This is great stuff, and this chapter alone is worth reading the entire book just to get to. And of course, a final chapter with some mechanics, some great advice on playing street-level mages, building a character, that is, and some cool new rotes to make your life in the back alleys a little bit more livable. In a similar vein, the 8th book on my list is Outcasts, A Player's Guide to Pariahs. Now, it's not strictly speaking a Mage the Ascension book. It's a black cover general World of Darkness book. But what this one does is looks at all the outcast elements of, well, in this case, vampires, the caitiff, werewolves, the ronin, and mages, the Hollow Ones again. Now, the Orphan Survival Guide already addressed the Hollow Ones, but if you're looking for a little bit more detail, this is the place to go. As I've said before, there is a tradition book on the Hollow Ones from the Revised Era, but if you really want solid details that are immediately useful in a street-level game, Outcast is the place to go for the best expanded look at the Hollow Ones. It looks at their history, gives you some sample NPCs, some sample magics, and then the end of the book gives you some storytelling advice for playing outcast characters and how to meld various supernatural elements together. And this is the place to go if you want to include vampires and werewolves and what have you in your street level game. There's a good section talking about crossovers and how to do it without overloading it on the cheese. Good advice, worth checking out. For my ninth book, I bring you the Mage 20th Anniversary Edition Quick Start Guide. For the most part, it's a compilation of rules that get repeated later in the Mage 20 main core rulebook. However, there's a section in the Quick Start Guide that isn't in the core rulebook, and that specifically are the sample NPCs, namely the Bridge Troll Cabal. This is a group of homeless street mages, a cabal that you can plug directly into your game. Some of them, they're not exactly beginning level characters, but they're fully realized, breathing, living individuals with their own hopes and dreams and flaws that you can plug into your game and get some immediate use out of. They're fully statted with full write-ups, some great descriptions on their avatars, and they're accompanied by a cool selection of stats for street level spirits and street level NPCs. If you're just looking for a handy bite-sized plugin for your game, this is the book to go to. Okay, I said it would be 9 books, but I lied because this is Mage the Ascension. There's a 10th sphere, a 10th book. And specifically, it comes from the New World of Darkness, or Chronicles of Darkness, as it's now known. And that book is The Awesome Damnation City. Mainly intended for the Vampire the Requiem game, there is nevertheless a ton of stuff here that you can loot for your Mage the Ascension game, or really any other urban game set in the World of Darkness. There are capsule overviews of real-world cities. There is an examination of how cities grow, skyscrapers, streets, subterranea, underground labyrinths, sewer systems. There are little sample NPC capsules, the Diligent Jogger, the Put Out Pizza Guy, the Trivia Master, the Stranger in a Strange Land, the Hurried Meter Man, little stock characters that you can pick up and use immediately for play. There's a list of motivations for people to have. Find their way home, just get clean, to be married, to get a meal that doesn't taste like hell. When you've come up with a sudden NPC off the cuff and you want to know what this person wants, there's a list here to help you figure it out. There's a way of giving neighborhoods statistics. A neighborhood has an isolated rating, a calm rating, an unruly rating, a simmering rating, and depending on how you set these ratings, this influences the roles that characters make within these neighborhoods. So social activities are harder in an unruly neighborhood, but maybe they're easier in a calm one. My favorite part of the book is the Hot Pursuit flowchart. If someone's engaged in a street-level chase, this is a flowchart that helps you direct the action. So they might start off in a downtown area. You make a dice roll. They end up in a dilapidated parking lot. From there, they could find themselves clambering over construction equipment, busting through a plywood fence, vaulting over a waiting cab, running through a city bus, into oncoming traffic, and out to their destination. And the flowchart describes and helps you narrate the movement of the story through this supposedly high-paced, frenetic chase scene. And of course, each area that's named on the flowchart gets a couple of paragraphs of description and some stats to help you bring it to life in play. There are sample district maps and district descriptions, the dockside, the winding streets, downtown, and ways for you to plug these together, kind of like old-school dungeon geomorphs, to be fair. But it really allows you to slap parts of a city down in play on the table seamlessly without interrupting your game to go and look up what it means when you run through back alleys. This book has it all laid out there for you. Damnation City, go and buy it now. Okay, that about wraps it up then for a half-hour look at street-level games in your Mage the Ascension Chronicle. There are a few other things you could check out. The original Technocracy Convention books, for example, each had a sample location and NPCs that you can plug into an urban environment pretty easily. The Laws of Ascension live-action role-playing guide has a fantastic system for bringing life to your social merits and flaws that didn't make it into any Mage of the Ascension rulebook. Check that out. It's called Social Ties. That is really useful in any street-level game. And of course, the Book of Mirrors and the Hardcover Storyteller's Handbook for Mage Revised all contain great advice on building stories, building setting, and sample NPCs for you to use. But we have to stop somewhere, and it's going to be here. So thank you for listening, and I hope this show has provided you with some useful information and tools to bring your street-level games to life. Drop us a line on Facebook, come tell us what you thought of the show, and hopefully see you next time. Take it easy!